Jason, I've got bad news for you.
More?
It never ends, does it?
Go on.
You've got to watch the trailer for this game and tell me what the problem is.
Okay. It's called Happy Little Dinosaurs. Okay. Disaster card. Okay. And then you can modify it. Oh, Sniper Smash.
He got there.
Happy Little Dinosaurs is Nightmare Smashers.
Except cute and a little more efficient.
Well, I'm going to at least buy it to try it, but I'm mad. You're right. Bad news.
I got invited to play it this week.
Randomly?
I was talking about the show and then they're like, oh, there's this game that sounds a lot like Nightmare Smashers.
Oh, they're flipping a card in the middle. They're calling it Disaster. And then you were choosing a card from the cards you have in your hand to modify it. They all look like cutesy and fun.
And face down.
Okay.
Hurts a little bit.
I mean, it's what I've been saying this whole time. You can't make a new game that nobody's ever played.
I'm sure that's true. And to be fair, I do think this was a little tongue-in-cheek. I think the version of Nightmare Smashers that would exist if we did make your game would be substantially different from this one.
Well, legally it would. Legally it would have to be.
Cease and desist.
Oh, that's a great name for a game too.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we try to go off with Overloader a turn before we have the power for it. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. Is this a show where we go back in time and explain our old podcast? That reference is for everybody who played Eternal.
That's probably more than half of our listeners at this point.
It's true, but that is not this episode. We are not going back in time.
If you need the redux, hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we can't count to 18. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. I can count to 18. What did you do?
I got to 14.
Oh, still Overloader.
But now the misplay makes sense.
I misplayed the misplay.
Where are we?
Have you ever played Pin the Tail on the Donkey?
Maybe. Probably. Go with yes.
I feel like that's where we are. I've got a blindfold on, spinning myself around. I'm just reaching out.
High five?
Why are we high-fiving?
You said you were reaching out.
You've never played Pin the Tail on the Donkey because you have a tail. You're trying to put it on a donkey.
Oh, I see. I got the part where you missed. I understand. I'm with you.
Okay.
Be more specific. What's the problem?
We have not talked about a game where everybody or most people or a majority of people have said, wow, that's really good. We should make that. That's awesome. That is such a good idea. Let's dig deeper on that. We have created a bunch of games. Jason versus Mark, Word Warpers, which came up organically this week, by the way. Supermarket Game, MMA Gauntlet, Dating Game, Nightmare Smashers, Peter's version, my version, your version. And none of these games have screamed, this is our game.
I agree. I also think saying a bunch is a little bit generous. I think I counted, it's less than 10 or about 10. In the scope of ideas, that's not very many.
It might technically be a bunch, though. What is a bunch? I hear you, though.
I guess a bunch of bananas, that would be like six.
Right?
Eight. Since we haven't found that idea, the concept, the pitch that screams to enough people to be like, yes, this is the thing we're going to commit to, we brought it to a team meeting to be like, hey, the goal right now is to be working towards deciding what the game is going to be. We're stuck on how are we going to decide what the game is. And in that meeting, it came up that we really haven't talked about enough ideas to make that decision. You want to talk about Pin the Tail on the Donkey? This would be like needle in a haystack, except you don't know what you're looking for. And so that led us to where we are today. We decided as a group, what we're going to do is take a couple of weeks and just generate game ideas. And once we have more than a bunch, a second bunch, once we have enough ideas where we're comfortable looking through them and starting to think through early design for them, then we'll have something that we can go through and make our decision on. But for these, we also need more than just trick-taking game for tricksters, right?
Right.
So what we did as a what we did as part of the meeting process was determine what do we need our game concept idea pitches to have in order to vet them so we can make a decision that we're going to feel good about in December.
And before we get into that, before we start, this week's episode is brought to you by Board Game Casual. Board Game Casual is a YouTube channel welcoming people into the board gaming hobby with video reviews, recommendations, unboxings, tips for accessorizing on a budget, and more. This week, Board Game Casual gives their first impressions of the Days of Wonder game Heat. It's a race game. Spoiler alert, they highly recommend it. Give it a try and give Board Game Casual a try at Board Game Casual channel on YouTube. What are we working on?
Well, I'm going to come back to when I first mentioned this is what we should talk about in the show. You said we shouldn't talk about this.
I still think we shouldn't talk about this.
But our rough sketch when we started the show was to document our process of designing the game from setting up the show, setting up the board game company, and designing the game from a blank slate to our crowdsourcing goal, showing the game at a convention. Gen Con, cross your fingers.
Right.
If our stated goal is to share the process, this is where we are in the process. This is what we're doing. This is what we should be talking about.
Everything you said makes sense. My point was, it's just not interesting to the audience. That was my point. My point was, the audience listening is like, eh, okay. We could put everything we're going to say in three sentences and then do something fun.
We can still have fun.
We're going to try. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting podcaster.
Interrupting.
What's next? Hit the soundboard.
It didn't work. Did it play anything?
Yeah, it's playing music.
Oh.
I hear it. You don't have headphones on. I've come around, Mark, right? I said to you, okay, we can find a way to talk about it. I think you're right. We're showing people, we keep saying it, we're, you know, all the misplays we're making along the way.
How do you add that to the soundboard? Can I get you saying you were right again?
The soundboard doesn't work that way.
Bummer. Are you sure?
Yeah, no. This is why you don't have access to a lot of things, though.
I don't know that it's fair to say, or I don't believe it's true, necessarily.
All the throwbacks.
But I don't think it's fair to be like, this isn't interesting when people haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. I think you have to look at feedback. We've done comparable episodes to this, and people have been like, oh yeah, this was cool. Like, thanks for being honest. Or you could easily say, those are just the people who like the show and want to support. Sure. But you kind of have to go with something. You might as well go with the feedback that you're getting.
You're still not wrong.
That's what I live for. Not wrong. But I think it is interesting because there's no way that I believe that everyone is like Leonie in, here's my game concept. I sit down and I build my game and it's one concept, one game in, what was it, like 3 weeks? I don't believe that that's how that works for the vast majority of people. And we are not prodigy game designers. So I think I do think it is worth the time. Like if we're trying to be a resource of, even if it's we're a scrub tier resource of how to not do the things that we did, I think there's value there. And rant.
I came around. We're doing it.
But we talked a little bit about it. And so now where we are is we're generating more game ideas, but we also need more than just the elevator pitch and the hook, if you will, in your story or in your game. So what are some of the things that we're looking for in our concept pitches that we'll use to assess what the game will be as we get further down the line towards December?
So we have asked the team and ourselves to just start throwing pitches into a folder, and that's what we're doing. And in each pitch, we're asking everybody to kind of break it down into four categories. Have your elevator, your pitch, your theme. Have the game concept, the potential genres, and then examples of mechanics that might be present.
The hope is that that structure, those aspects, give us enough to picture in our mind's eye what the game could be, and then hopefully by some metric as a team meet, go through the pitches, and discuss which one we really want to pursue. Well, you said you're a visual learner, so we're going to do an example. We'll go through an example that applies aspects in the description of the game. Just to give an example of what our pitches might look like when we start meeting with the team to go through the pitches for the ultimate final decision.
So I got to pick the game that we're going to talk about today. And because we have a, you know, in the folder, there's a list of ideas going. And I wanted to hear more about Mark's pitch called Climb On. And so we're going to use Climb On to go through those four features that we're hoping people put together. And look, if somebody puts something into the drive that doesn't include those four things, it's fine. We are just trying to give it some structure now that we have systems in place.
We're also trying to get away from nebulous ideas of like, Nightmare Smasher worker placement. We need more information with that from that before we would be able to make a decision about that game, right? That's all it's for.
So Climb On, Mark, knowing nothing about the game, you're a climber. I assume it has something to do with climbing.
It does.
Okay. So give me the first thing. Give me the elevator pitch, the theme. Ding.
Climb On is a literal race to the top. Players will train their strength, their technique, their stamina, and their problem solving to summit increasingly difficult climbing routes on their way to glory or the sick views at the top of the mountains they ascend. Ding.
Cool. You could also just go climbing, right?
I mean, that, am I allowed to say that would be my preference on a podcast about building a board game? No?
No, you can, yeah.
I mean, I would probably go climbing instead of playing this game.
I have lots of questions, but I want to go through your four categories.
Sure.
Right? So there's your pitch. There's the theme. Give me the game concept, number two.
So the game concept is as players race to climb up the wall, they go up. They're going to be presented with obstacles, challenges, and problems that will be revealed as they go up. Whatever elements the game has would ultimately be serving this vertical ascent race that players are engaging in with each other.
I was going to wait to the end, but is the board vertical?
Yes.
Right. It's got to be, right?
Yep.
You can't have a climbing game where you're just going like across the table. You have to go up.
Yes.
Okay. So you said genres a second ago. Number three was potential genres. Where does it fall in?
So in my early thinking about it, I was like, oh, well, players are going to like have their climbing meeple. See, I learned things from watching YouTube too. You'll have your climbing meeple.
Yeah, cease and desist right there though, but okay.
No, meeple is a generic game term.
They're currently trying to create a copyright.
Who?
Because it's so, the original, I think it's the Carcassonne people. The original meeple people are like in the process of like trying to get that back.
Oh, I have lots of capitalistic things to say about that.
Cease and desist. Banned. Whoa, cease and desist. Potential genre.
You take your player token.
Thank you.
And so I was like, oh, well, if you're going to be a player token, right, you should have player stats. And so those things that I mentioned in the elevator pitch, strength, stamina, technique, problem solving, those would kind of be your player stats. And then I'm not sure if it's like a resource management thing where you're like getting those things to add to your player stats, or if you're doing worker placement where like you go to the gym and train. This is probably the least thought out part in my head of like how the player token interacts with the structure. But the structure is a tile laying. It's a vertical tile laying thing. So you have face down tiles on the board that goes up. And then as you either lay tiles or flip tiles in order to reveal what you have to do in order to continue climbing.
I'm picturing, you know, your player token on a like a wall or surface. And I really feel like I need something unique to like, I think this game's got to have a unique way to move that forward. The last piece in your doc is the types of mechanics that might be present.
Yeah. So for me, this game is defined by going up, right? Like a lot of boards are played flat. You move, you race along your track, you go in circles, you know, even like play turns pass in circles. I think for the, I go back to like thinking about Leonie's talking about how important the physical pieces were, like the physical experience of playing the game. I think the driving thing in my head about this game is you have your player token and you are actually going up. And so I'm envisioning if it's a four-player game, you know, you have your Jenga tower structure. You just have your big rectangular prison that stands up between all the players and everyone has their face of the wall. So with that like vertical structure, like what are the things that you could play? Those are the things that I would start to wonder about, like what could we play with? So I was like, oh, it's a pegboard and you're flipping tiles from face down to face up as you like go up. And that has a little bit of a feel to it. You could also like draw them from a deck and lay them on, but I think it's cooler to have the whole thing set up the whole time.
I like the idea of the pegboard. That stands out to me because that gives you a lot of flexibility and freedom for where you put your handholds. Like you can always make it different. Like you can have all these different routes that make the game more challenging, right? You can start with a basic route as a tutorial while you're learning the game and then they become more complicated.
Yeah. Other things that came to mind for me were like, players flip tiles as they climb, so the next problem reveals itself as you go up.
Could you have a cooperative version where, like, I'm on belay? On belay.
Maybe. Are we making a cooperative game? We could
never.
Do that.
No.
No, I envision it kind of like in terms of like, oh, like the Olympics just happened and climbing was featured in the Olympics this last Olympic cycle.
Is it only speed climbing?
No.
Okay.
So there's combination competition of bouldering and sport climbing.
Because that's the only thing I've seen as a competition.
I'm envisioning this is more in like the sport climbing kind of genre where you're like and in the Olympics, like they score points for going up. The higher you get, the more points you score. And so like, if your route is an 11A and you climb, you would score points based on climbing an 11A. And so the objective of the game is to score the most points by climbing.
You could play simultaneously. Like I'm getting really into this. You could play simultaneously, whether we have the same route or different routes, but we're trying to climb up.
Oh yeah, that's true. We're getting a little bit into like a design thing. I think we should debrief about what you think about the game after.
Okay. Mechanics.
Because like, I think it's, I actually really like that idea. And now I have like more ideas about what we could do. And that's why I think this system of pitches is a good idea.
Yep.
But in terms of other mechanics, so scoring points based on climbing and not falling. There'll be penalties for falling.
Yeah, you get hurt.
Possibly. The ropes catch you. You have your Olympic level belayer okay. Taking care of you. You'll be okay. And then in my original thinking, outside of the dexterity offshoot, the tiles that players reveal would test different character traits. And then if you fall, you'd either have to redo the problem. I was thinking like, this is where like resource management would be interesting. Cause like, can I borrow points from technique to overcome a strength obstacle kind of thing? So that was kind of where I was like leaning mechanically for the game. Summary, players go up, tiles reveal problems and challenges and obstacles, and then player stats influence how they succeed or fail on those obstacles. And that's Climb On.
I love it. I love the idea of a climbing game. It's going to be a day later. We're going to find out there's already like 7 climbing games, but
I've looked, I couldn't find very many.
Plus it's taking something that, and I did this too with the games that I created in the document so far. I created games that like, I really like. You know, my first game ever, you know, that sprung a podcast was the golf game. I love golf. something just inspired Mark to Google climbing games. He just showed me his computer and it's called Summit. I bet they have a cool board that goes up.
Let's see.
Scrap everything. I really like the idea of the pegboard and, you know, the holds go in and that's how you set up the routes and there's a card. You know, code names tells you like where things are, you know, it's like a little map. And so you would put in the holds on the pegboard. That is like that super tactile thing where you get to put your hand on the player token and hook it up, right? As you like that would have a cool feeling.
I was really drawn to your idea when you were fantasizing, hypothesizing about the co-op potential of working on a shared board. What about where players go up to a point where they fall and then you've revealed enough of the route And then if you fall, somebody else can start climbing that one because now they have information about what they need to do. And so you can have this like strategic choosing of like, which side of the wall am I trying to climb?
Yeah.
And you're still racing for points.
Now my brain is thinking.
I really appreciate you jumping in with immediate feedback and kind of the gut reaction piece. Cause now, even now, like from what I had already put into the pitch, there's already more to kind of grasp onto. So for me, like the next step would be, oh, like what were the things that Jason and I talked about that really resonated to me? He really liked the pegboard. So I highlighted that. Jason also thought like, what if players weren't only on one side? What if we could be on multiple sides? So now like, this is how things take shape for me. Like the design is the collaborative piece. And now I feel like if push really came to shove and someone was like, Mark, fin it, like go into this one, go deep, make a rule set, put something together that we can play. I think I have enough of a jumping off point now that I have some feedback that I could then do that and bring it to the group for a little more in-depth analysis.
So going back to what we are hoping to get out of this, the goal is to not just throw a bunch of things against the wall. It's doing what you were just doing right there, where we need to start expanding our thinking and how we think about games to come up with things that excite us, right? You're over there talking about your climbing game and you're excited. We're not just going to throw 50 things into a folder. We are using that as a springboard to get us really into it, right? We are 9 months into the process. 10 months into the process. And I don't feel like personally, like I have jumped into the deep end, right? I've just been kind of kicking in the shallow water, just hanging out. And I need to push myself further. So this exercise is helping me do that.
I think where that winds up leading us is we go through this process of writing a bunch of pitches. And then in the team meetings, what we start doing is going over them, having these discussions about, oh, like this is a good idea. This is how Mark sees golf game. This is how I'm so bad sees trick taking game for tricksters. And once you start to have that back and forth a little bit, I think the game will reveal itself because you'll start to see people be like, oh, this is the one they want to talk about. This is the one that they have the most ideas about. This is the one that is brought up the most. And if we needed some very quantitative way of looking at it, I'm sure we could find one. But I think what we'll find is the group will move towards a game that collectively draws enough people, that has enough depth, interest, and potential that we can then say, let's really put all of our eggs into this basket for this game.
And I think what you said is the key. You said it a couple of times. You said the word group. For the last 9 or 10 months, it has mostly been you and I talking about games. And we haven't done a great job of bringing in, the misplay is not just you and I. And I think what we've been doing has been doing a better job of bringing them in and getting their ideas and getting their feedback. Because there's some cool pitches in there that aren't ours, that have nothing to do with you and I. So what's next?
Next is presenting and sharing, hopefully a portion of the large bunch of games that we pitch and talk about with the team and go through the evaluation process, not necessarily with all the games and definitely not promising that one of the games we talk about next week is the game, but in the interest of sharing the process of how we're going to continue moving in the direction of selecting what the game will be. We'll go through some of the games, evaluate them, have the discussion, share notes from the discussions that we have with the team, and evaluate where we are.
Hit or
miss.
Oh, you did miss on theme. I like that. We're going to try to have some fun. I'm still waiting for the feedback on this show because I wanted to bring more fun to it.
I think this was fun.
Did you?
You said I was excited at the end.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like I'm smiling. You're smiling as much as you smile. The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Oddjoes, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord.
So we've been having our team meetings semi-regularly. Semi-regularly. Don't interrupt because you're going to have a supercut here. Semi-regularly.
I got to interrupt. He just tried to throw me under the editing bus is what I heard.
Semi-regularly. Regularly. I don't think I could ever say this word. Semi-regularly.
Got there.
We've been having team meetings every once in a while.